You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. Throw up your hands and praise the Lord. It's my day off, so I'm very, very excited. This coming week, next Thursday, there's a family member that's having a very special day, and they put out notice. It used to be that they put out notice so far in advance that my wife finally had to step in and say, "No, not until after Christmas do you get to start preparing everyone for your birthday celebration." This year, there's been some moderation of that, but a month ago, they said, I just want to remind everybody what a month from today is, and that's coming up next week. So we've got some wonderful things coming up. Family-wise, but for me, I look forward to Fridays. I really do. It is my chance to catch my breath before moving into weekend ministry, and I pray that you are having a great week and you're looking forward to doing whatever's necessary to be able to worship the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength this coming weekend. So I want to say thank you to everybody who called in and supported WMIE this last week during their spring offering. And thank you for those who mentioned the Refresh radio program when you called in. And we pray the blessings of God be upon you. And let's make the most out of what we have been given opportunity for in 2023. So this is my personal invitation to you to come to Merritt Assembly of God Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. Wednesday nights we have our Fire Bible discipleship class, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we would love to have you come and be a part of the things that God is doing. We've been talking for some time about what does the life of a devoted believer look like? What does the life of a devoted believer look like? Today we are going to go to the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to see that a devoted life does not just have an impact upon the things that happen inside the church, be it with the pastor, the church leadership, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, children's leaders, music ministers, the things that go on there. We want you to see that a life of devotion will manifest itself in every arena. Okay? So, let me set the stage for you. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 5. So you've got Ezra, you've got Nehemiah, then you've got Esther, you've got Job, then you've got Psalms. So that gives you the idea of the neighborhood. Go to Psalms and turn a few books to the left. And we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah had been a servant of the king. He had been a trusted servant of the king to the point that Nehemiah was the one who, he was the taste tester. Now, mind you, it was not just tasting whether everything was spiced accordingly. It wasn't about that at all. The job that Nehemiah had was to partake of what the king was going to drink of and to eat the things that he was going to be eating, so that if anybody had poisoned the food, Nehemiah would be the one that died and not the king. There's always been some people who wanted to rise up to power, and they didn't care what means they used to get it. And so kings began to learn, I need somebody around me that I can trust that is devoted to my success just as much as I am devoted to my success. And so Nehemiah had risen to the level of the king's cupbearer. But in chapter 2, Nehemiah is in the presence of the king, and there is a burden that is weighing upon his heart, because not only is Nehemiah devoted to the success of the king, but being Jewish, he has a great passion for Jerusalem, and he had heard a discouraging message that there needed to be leadership that would go back and restore the city of Jerusalem to what it should have been. And it is a very inspirational story about the hand of the Lord being upon him, God granting him success. And as a result of those things, he is empowered by the king to go back as governor of that region so that the wall could be rebuilt. The condition of the Jewish people who are returning now towards the end of the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, as it's called, they had been exiled from the land. They are now starting to migrate back, and there has been a decree by Cyrus, and then Darius reaffirms that decree. And there's a lot of people not happy when the people of God begin to function not as a threat, but as an asset to the powers that be. So in chapter 5, let me read just a few verses here. Verse number 1. And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren, for there were those who said, we, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live. There were also some who said, we've mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine. There were also those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards, yet now our flesh is the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And Nehemiah's response is this, and I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, each of you is exacting usury from his brother. So I called a great assembly against them, and I said, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us? So there was a financial crisis that was going on. There was a security crisis going on because the wall was broken down. There were people who were experiencing the damaging ramifications of famine, and there was a taxation burden that was placed upon them that was overwhelming them, and it was leading to financial bondage, not just for them, but for their sons and their daughters, and many of the people who were taking advantage of their fellow countrymen were other Jewish believers. And Nehemiah said, we're going to do something about this. We're going to do something about this. Jesus came to set captives free. So Nehemiah, even though the title that he had before he came to Jerusalem was he was the cupbearer to the king, he has a tremendous amount of executive ability, the ability to lead, the ability to govern. And so now let's drop down to verse number 14. By the way, he takes action and people end up releasing the brethren that had debts so that they could go on and thrive. Verse number 14 says this, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provision. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. Indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. And at my table were 150 Jews and rulers, besides those who came to us from the nations around us. Now that which was prepared daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowl were prepared for me, and once every 10 days an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provisions because the bondage was heavy on this people. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. So the verse that we want to look at today is Nehemiah chapter 15. And in the New International Version, it says this, instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. So in the New King James Version, it says continued. In the New International Version, it says, I devoted myself to the work. Devotion is something that is not meant just inside the four walls of the church. Devotion is meant for our home relationships. Husbands, you'd better be devoted to your wives. Wives, you need to be devoted to your husbands. You need to be devoted to the house of God. You need to be devoted to raising your children to know God, to love God, to serve God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Devotion is something that is possible in each one of our lives. But we also need to be devoted to the work that God has for us to do. Nehemiah's title in the 12 years he's in Jerusalem is that he has been sent there as the governor of the land. A lot of people say, well, Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. Well, if you abdicate the political realm to unbelievers, you are going to find that principle coming to true about what happens when righteous leaders are in place and what happens when unrighteous leaders are in place. It's not good. You and I, we need people who are devoted to the kingdom of God. So in the month of, it was March, a couple from our church, board members and friends of ours, we had told them years ago about a restaurant that we wanted to take them to. But my wife had surgery, and it's been way too long since we made the promise and getting to deliver that. And so we had an opportunity to go to this one particular restaurant that my wife and I really like down in Melbourne. And they had also purchased us tickets to go see the Chris Tomlin concert that was down there. And it was a wonderful night, and he told a lot of stories that about how he began in his ministry and things like that. And he told of this guy by the name of James, who had a profound impact on his very earliest days of ministry. And then later on, he describes how that person, James, is actually now a United States senator. And I didn't know the history, didn't know the correlation, but I was like, praise God for people who know God and who are willing to use their God-given wisdom and God-given talents to help in the governing process. And so Nehemiah was not the first governor. The other governors, on top of the exploitation, on top of the taxes that were already in place, on top of the debt load that people carried, on top of the famine that they were dealing with, they placed a demand on them. You can see that in verse number 18, where Nehemiah says, "Yet in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provisions." What has happened too often in history is that people forget that governors are put in place to serve the people. That's why we call them ministers, not in a spiritual sense, but in a servant sense. They are there to serve. The word minister means servant. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, even though he deserves to be served. And he uses his service as an example to the church that we should go and do likewise. And so Nehemiah says, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. I was committed. I was devoted to it. And in doing so, he said, I didn't place the burdens that on the people that others, I did not take from them the food and the drink that just would have been something in excess for me, but was absolutely essential for those families' survival. In fact, Nehemiah says, according to the way his predecessors behaved, the governor's servants, even they bore rule over the people. And his response was this. This is in verse number 15. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. He was much more concerned about his accountability to God than he was about anything else. He was even bold enough to say, God, if you've called me, I'm not even going to have to ask the king for protection, because your hand will protect us, even though journeying, being a person that traveled, was a very dangerous occupation, because they didn't have ATMs, they didn't have electronic banking. If you wanted to purchase something, you had to take something of value with it. Many times that was gold, sometimes it was spices and other articles to trade or to barter with. And thieves love to steal valuable things. And he said, I know this. The hand of God is upon me. He will give me favor. He will give me protection. And so Nehemiah said, because I am in awe of God, I know that if I treat his people well, God will take care of me. He will treat me well. And I can testify to that. God will do a better job of taking care of you. He will do a better job of taking care of me than we could have ever done taking care of ourselves. And I will tell you this, you need to be careful about some of the voices that are speaking as a voice of God in this world, because there are some people that have some devoted loyalty or some divided loyalties going on out there, that they serve money more than they serve God. I'm not saying that you cannot be rich and serve God, but you need to make sure that you have your control of the possessions. The possessions don't have control over you. And there are many voices where that is not the case. All you've got to do is listen long enough and you will find the things that come out of their mouth aren't bringing glory to God. They're bringing glory to themselves. They're trying to create an audience for themselves and all that sort of stuff. So, verse number 16, he said, I was devoted in the NIV. I devoted myself to the work on this wall, and all my men were assembled there for the work, and we did not acquire any land. When you go to work, go to work. Go to work. Be all in. I've seen some that there's been a lot of layoffs, thousands and thousands of people across the country losing their jobs, and many of them had a reputation that they had spread amongst themselves about how little they worked, how much they made, and it was more of a, you know, well, you can come and you can do a little bit of stuff, but that's a fantasy world. All hard work brings a profit. You and I, you know, he who will not work shall not eat. We don't hear much about that principle anymore, but I'm here to tell you that it is very much true. And so when you are at work, be devoted to the work. My wife was doing a Bible study some years ago, and she came across the word, a Hebrew word, that work and worship are closely tied together. And so if people see you not devoted to your job, they're not going to be that much concerned about anything else that you speak about in your life. I've had some people tell me through the years, why do you work so hard? You only pastor a church of 30 to 60 people. I said, because I don't want the church to only be a church of 30 to 60 people. And that's the truth. I will tell you that there is a realization that has unfolded upon me that I've had more birthdays than I've ever had before in my life, and the ability to work 60 or 70 hours a week is not nearly as strong as it once was. So my best, I now have to focus on making sure that I get the adequate rest so that I can continue to give my best. But the radio program is still just as important as it was when we started it almost 10 years ago. I still want to bring the best messages that I could bring. Still want to love people as best I can. But I'm the type of guy that if I'm working on something, I only want to work on it once. I want to do it right the first time. And so I pray that you will take this concept of devotion and it will go beyond just your church experience, but it will touch your job experience. So when I managed retail stores, I would go in and I would pray and say, God, I'm going to ask you to bless this retail business, because not only do I want my needs met, but I want them to see what it is like for you to be actively involved in the business. And that worked well for me during that season. I worked retail management for a long time. It was about 12 or 13 years that I was involved in retail management. And so I pray that you will be devoted, even on the job front. It says here, let me conclude with verses 18 and 19. It says, yet in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provisions because the bondage was heavy on this people. Listen, we are not here to be a burden to people. We are here to be a blessing to people. Merit Assembly of God exists to be a blessing. We had a Be a Blessing yard sale event where we gave things away. It wasn't because they didn't have value. It was because we just wanted to be a blessing to people. And somebody was saying, oh, I saw this on Antique Roadshow. It's worth like $30,000. And it said, well, you know what? If it's worth $30,000, God bless you. You really got substantially blessed. We didn't care about the monetary value. We just wanted to be a blessing to people. There are people that are in enough bondage. They need some people who will bless them with a relationship with Jesus so that Jesus can set the captives free. We said, we pray that it will be as easy for people to want to come to Merit Assembly of God for church as they came for a yard sale. Verse number 19, Nehemiah says, remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. When you are devoted to your work, that wall was to be built for the safety of the people. It wasn't for Nehemiah's reputation. It was for the glory of God. It was for the benefit of people. And I pray today that that's the way you approach work as well. Be devoted to your work, so that you keep on keeping on for the glory of God. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
When the flames burning